today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
Over 150,000 people die each day. 150,000 people, more than 150,000 people on any given day. Many of them without Christ. They'll be at the end of time among the dead fish. Just as the dragnet collects everything in its path, all will stand before our Lord one day. Everyone will stand before Him. You can't hide.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Some people have had the negative experience of hearing many messages of eternal hell without the good news, eternal life in heaven. The judgment is real, but the good news is that a price has been paid if we're willing to accept it. Today, we'll hear this explained by Jesus through parables, who is the good news. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now, open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 47, as we join Pastor Troy for our continuing study entitled Understanding the Kingdom Parables.
It's a picture of the Savior seeking the sinner and not the other way around. It fits in the context of another popular parable where the shepherd left the 99 just to find the one who was lost. And Jesus even said of himself, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Something noteworthy and why there may be two of these parables here is very interesting. Pearls were not valuable to Jews at that time. So when they heard about the treasure, the Jews would have said, oh, that makes sense. I understand that treasure, value. But when he brought in the picture of the pearl, well, okay, a pearl's not really valuable to the Jews. You can search the Old Testament. There's really no value given to them in the Old Testament. Now, we know that there are gates made of pearl in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, the Jews never saw pearls as all that valuable. They saw them sort of as coral or, you know, you found a pretty rock, right? I mean, it's a pretty rock, maybe noteworthy, maybe you'd pick it up and keep it, but it had no value. And that's the way that Jews saw the pearl. Nice, but insignificant. On the other hand, Gentiles valued pearl. It was a precious gem to the Gentiles. And Jesus' wording is very insightful when he talks about a pearl. You see, a pearl is the result of an irritation. An oyster, a little grain of sand or dirt, something that would irritate, gets inside, works its way into the shell of the oyster, and then the oyster, because, well, imagine this. You ever had something like stuck under your tongue? Maybe not, I don't know, but it's not very comfortable. And you're trying to get it, and you know you can't get to it. That's the idea here. And so what an oyster does is it sends this serum called nacre, and it begins to form around it to protect it so that it's not harsh, it's not an irritation. It begins to cover it so that in the end we have this beautiful pearl. But on the very heart, in the very heart of it is an irritation. It's dirt. It's nothing of value that becomes something of value because of what it is covered by. And it's a beautiful picture of Gentiles, or actually of anyone who becomes a child of God. You know, what makes you valuable is not how good you are. It's not your greatest works. It's not your heart. But it's the Lord who covers you. It's His righteousness. We're found in Him. Paul said, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So, it's a beautiful picture of the Gentiles being loved by God, a beautiful picture of something having no value becoming something of great value, so that this merchant would actually seek it. The two parables make it clear that the Jews have value. I mean, that's who he's talking to, the treasure. You're the treasure. But also, though they're the apple of God's eye, that the Gentiles have value as well. They seem insignificant, but listen to God, they have great value. Later on, God would speak to the Apostle Paul, who was going to basically destroy the Jews because they were reaching out to Gentiles. They were blaspheming what he thought the name of God and Judaism. And so God gets a hold of him, says, hey, I'm going to send you out to the pearls. I'm going to send you out to the Gentiles. So these parables reveal the value of the sons of the kingdom. And now we look at, it's important to understand that, because now we go into the separation for the kingdom. That's the good news. For those of you who only like good news messages, you guys can take off. We're going to continue with verse 47 because there's actually more to the message. Verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Just to let you know, wailing and gnashing of teeth is not the sign of a good time. It's not going to be fun in hell. It'll be extremely bliss and fun in heaven. This is the separation for the kingdom. It was a parable that really would speak to the heart of the disciples because, well, many of them were fishermen. They understood that trade. So they understood the dragnet. Oh, they'd be listening. Yeah, the dragnet. Oh, I understand that. See, there were three types of fishing at the Sea of Galilee. The first type was line and hook. That's like when you have a fishing pole. And that was basically small-time fishing. That's if you're going to catch a few fish, cook them right on the spot. You know, I don't want to take out the big equipment just for a few fish. You know, have to weed through 1,000 fish or something like that. So catch a few fish, hang out, enjoy the day. Line and hook. Then there was the personal net, a small net that you could carry out in a single boat, even as a single person. You would cast it. It had some weights on it so that it would go below the surface of the water. And it also had a drawstring on it so that some would go down and you'd draw it and it would grab whatever's there. Others would sit on the ground. Then you'd pull it up. Either way, you'd draw whatever's there in a mid-sized catch. But then there was the dragnet. Oh, that's the get-it-all-done kind of fishing. You know, today it'd be like throwing out the grenade. Everything that comes to the surface, that's yours, you know. The dragnet was a big net that would often go between two sets of boats, depending on the size of the dragnet. And what you would do is, it had weights on the bottom and handles on the top, and it would set, drag the bottom, and that's the idea of the dragnet. And you would take it and you would drift toward a location or towards the shore. I mean, that's the end, obviously. Once you get to shore, it's over. And so you would drag the net, and it caught everything. Live fish, dead fish, trash, weeds, plastic bottles. I don't think they had them then. But today it would certainly bring up some plastic bottles. But that was the dragnet. It was like a moving wall that at some point had a final time. The dragnet was going to be lifted up. The water, well, it was over. You're at the shoreline. So we drag everything. And this is a parable that gives the idea that there is a coming judgment, a coming separation, that the dragnet is going throughout eternity, bringing up all kinds, and in the very end, everything will be sorted out. Verse 50 says, cast them, those that were to be separated, that were not good, the dead, the things that you couldn't eat, cast them into the furnace of fire where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You know, some who believe in Jesus don't like to believe in hell. They like to believe in all the positive things, all the good things, but they don't realize there is a judgment. That in fact, the entire world, just as this dragnet gives us the picture, the entire world is heading towards judgment. Everyone doesn't start out going to heaven. And only if you start to get really bad, I guess you're going to go to hell. No, we're all drifting in time, heading towards judgment, because we are all born in sin. We are sinners, born separated from God. The scripture says we must be born again. And so this dragnet is moving everyone towards this day of judgment. And Jesus speaks more of judgment or hell than anyone in the Bible. Hell is not an idea that was manufactured by some pastor up here who saw somebody possibly falling asleep in his message and said, how do I keep them awake? Well, if you don't listen, there's a place called hell. And you're going to go there, especially you, because you fall asleep every other week, you know? He didn't create this idea of hell. It's a biblical doctrine. Hell. Not one that we like to preach. Well, some seem to really like to preach it. I don't necessarily like to preach it. I want to feel good. Hey, I want you to leave positive and encouraged. And you know what? If you're following the Lord and you're dealing with Him honestly, you will always walk away positive and encouraged, even in the face of conviction. Because you know what? I want to grow. And that's true. I need to deal with that. And you'll take those things the right way. But when you don't want to grow, when you like to be settled in, and you don't want anyone challenging your way of thinking, your philosophy, or your lifestyle, then, you can find yourself taking offense to a lot of messages where the truth is taught. Because the truth convicts. It pierces. The Bible, he says, if you just read the Bible, said it's sharper than any two-edged sword, it pierces. And makes a separation. And we ought to be those who are willing to hear the truth. And hopefully, those we hear the truth from will share that truth in love. And obviously, we want to know that the people who are speaking to our lives are speaking from a heart of love. And for those of you who love truth, you need to also love. Because the truth without love doesn't help anyone. I mean, it'll start to build up a wall. Everything we're to do is to be motivated by the love of God. There are plenty of people who hear the truth all the time. They hear it in mean-spirited ways, and it doesn't bring them to Christ. So we need to give the truth. The truth is there is a hell. The truth is there is a coming judgment. The truth is you can't be good enough. But what else is true is God loves you. And He's given you an option. And He's paid the price. It's an option you can't afford to pay the price for. You can't buy the pearl. You can't buy the treasure. But He's seeking after you. He purchased you. You don't have to purchase it. He paid the price. And it's free for you. You just have to receive it. Just as the dragnet eventually reaches the end of the course and is drawn up, God's dragnet is slowly moving toward the shores of what we call the day of judgment. God will deal with every single fish. Over 150,000 people die each day. 150,000 people, more than 150,000 people on any given day. Many of them without Christ. They'll be, at the end of time, among the dead fish. Just as the dragnet collects everything in its path, all will stand before our Lord one day. Everyone will stand before Him. You can't hide. You can shield yourself. You can pretend He doesn't exist. You can look at your life and count your blessings without God. I don't believe in God, and yet I've been blessed financially. I've been blessed here, but here's the thing. You haven't been blessed with eternal life. You're going to die. And you're going to find out this life was very, very short compared to eternity. Because eternity doesn't end. It has no end. And then it's at that time when it's too late that people will be in the most pain, knowing they had an opportunity. Don't miss out on that opportunity. And for some of you, if you are Christians, it's your commission, and we're going to talk about that right here now in this last parable, to share the gospel, to share this message of the kingdom of heaven to a lost world who doesn't realize there's a purpose or a direction or a finality to this life. Verse 51, Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" He's talking to his disciples. They've already asked him to explain two parables. Jesus said, or then they said to him, "Yes, Lord." I wonder how they said it though. Yeah, we get it. You've explained two of them. Okay, you know. Then he said to them, "Therefore," or literally it's, "Okay, since you've heard this, since you understand it, therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old." Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there. Jesus says, "Have you understood all these things?" What he's saying is this: do you understand what I said about the kingdom of heaven? Do you understand how it started and how it's starting here? Do you understand the kingdom is going to grow and that not all that growth is necessarily good? Do you understand how precious the people are? Do you understand? Whether they actually do or not, they say yes. And so in light of that, and in light of the information received, Jesus places a responsibility on them. One like the scribe. A scribe was one who learned, studied everything he could, would write it out, learn it, and pass it on. He was an instructor. He was a messenger. He passed on everything he learned. He did the hard work of learning it and listening to it, and he would pass it on. That's what a scribe would do. And he basically compares them to a scribe. He says, "You've been instructed just as a scribe." And so just as a scribe would have that responsibility with what they've received, you now have that responsibility. Like the head of a house who would pull out treasures. You guys know about passing down things in the family, right? Heirlooms, treasures, things of value. You have certain boxes and certain things that have been passed down for generations. These are old things. But then there are things you acquire yourself, and they have value, but you've acquired them. They're new things. And over time, you get to know, and as your family comes and they gather around, you pull out the things. And you show them the old things, and then you show them some of the new things from your own family or your own generation. He's saying, just as that happens, just as the owner of a house would do that, this is what you need to do. What are the old things? The scriptures. The Old Testament. Their scriptures. "I'm the Christ. I'm the Messiah." Later on, he has to come, and it says that he always spoke the things concerning him so they would understand how the Old Testament related to him, how he fulfilled the Old Testament. So he says, bring these things out. Bring them up to the people, but also the new things. What are the new things? What he's teaching them now. And it's what we would call the New Testament. So as those who are passing on, should we just be a New Testament church? Should we just teach the New Testament? Absolutely not. Because if I teach you, Jesus loves you, Jesus died for your sins, and you go, "What sin?" Well, I got to start going back to the Old Testament, or I have nothing to stand on. By the way, not a plug for the answers in Genesis. That's kind of the idea of the answers in Genesis. Go back to Genesis, find out the foundations. So we need to teach the Old and the New Testament. Do you understand these things? They did. Here's the point for us, I think. Once we learn truth, it becomes our responsibility to share it. It's not just something we learn and tuck in our hearts and go, "Oh, good for me." No, you like a scribe, if you have learned it, if you have received information, if you have begun to understand truth, it becomes your responsibility to share it. Who else will? Who else has access to the circle of influence that you have? You. That's why it's your circle of influence, your sphere of influence. And so you don't have to go off to missionary fields. You don't have to go downtown. You don't have to go to these places. I mean, there's a call and there's a purpose, and we get together as a church and we can do these things. But for you personally, first and foremost, God has given you and surrounded you with a mission field. Are you being faithful there? Are you sharing the gospel? Are you passing on the truths that you know, that you've learned? This is what God wants us to do. It's the commission. So in light of the kingdom parables now, you should have a good idea of what's going on in the world right now through the lens of what's going on in the kingdom. And that's the right lens. The kingdom of heaven is being established. You're either in it, among it, working for it, serving the king of it, or you're not. You're living on your own. You're lawless. We've seen the start of the kingdom with the parable of the soils. And you know, that passes on to you too. Though Jesus was sharing and some soils did and didn't receive, when you share, the same thing's going to happen. It's not necessarily your fault. It's not necessarily your delivery. You just be genuine. You just be a light. You just share as God wants you to share. It's that simple. You may not have the theological answers, and you don't need them, because they don't need them either. There is just an argument. And when you feel you're casting your pearls before swine, when you're throwing them out there and they won't listen, you're done. And live to fight another day. And one day they may look to you as your life is in order and their life is falling apart. And they may go, you know, what was that about the Lord? Or how is it that your life is in order? And then they'll be more ready to listen. But while it's just an argument between two minds, they're not ready. You find that fruit that is ripe, you don't have to fight to get it off the tree. You don't have to tug and keep pulling. It kind of comes off. In fact, if you wait a little too long, it falls off. You know. So I want to encourage you to share. Share with people. Experience rejection. It's not all that bad. You're suffering for the Lord. But there will be different soils. It's not always you as the failure. Sometimes it's the hardened soil or the different soils. We also saw there's opposition to the kingdom. You have a supernatural enemy, and that the expansion of the kingdom, that not all of that growth is good. That's why I don't pray to God for miraculous growth. I mean, if He wants to give it, as far as our church is concerned, that's fine. But prepare us, Lord. You know, have the right people in place. We need good, solid leadership. You know, may we be prepared. Because I know that where mass numbers show up, lots of tares show up as well. And lots of problems and sometimes division and everything else. So we want to be very prepared for those things. I love our church. I love what God has done here. And I'm very content. So there's opposition. We also saw the sons of the kingdom, their value, how valuable they are to God, the separation at the end for the kingdom, and then the responsibility given to those who have understanding, who've been taught. So those are the kingdom parables. That's the story of them. That was the information they were to understand and take on and move forward and be encouraged by. And I pray that it encourages you as well. The world needs truth. There's enough lie out there. There are enough philosophies that bring nothing. But what we bring brings life, an abundant life. Don't be ashamed of it. Share it. Jesus said to Pilate, "I have come to bear witness to the truth." He said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Let's take that truth and learn it. But as we learn it, understand our responsibility to share.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
In this day and age in which we live, it's easy to get distracted by everything that's going on around us. The hustle and bustle of life tends to keep us from the things that are truly important as followers of Christ. While there's simply no substitute for the personal reading of God's Word, programs like Building on the Solid Rock are a huge blessing that God uses in the discipleship of countless people. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. For more information about our ministry or to access the archive of messages, log on to our website at www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can subscribe to our podcast while you're there or search for us in the iTunes store. Use Calvary Chapel Solid Rock as you search. It's absolutely free. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us. We invite you to join us again next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covered me.